Assalamu alaikum. Today I decided to be a little bit sweeter, so I made some muffins and I felt a little bit bluey. How are you, brother? How's everything? Moving on from our last talk, we look at Surah Al-Hujurat in this mini series. And we reach the part where Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّن قَوْمٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِّن نِسَاءٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُنَّ. Which means, O believers, let not a group of men scoff at another group. I'm just reading it from here so I don't get it wrong. It may well be that the latter at whom they scoff are better than they. Nor let a group of women scoff at another group. It may well be that the latter are better than they. This is very interesting because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses both the men by themselves and then the women. And I wonder why. I think there's two reasons. From what I read in the tafsir, it means that at the time of the Prophet, peace be upon him, men didn't often mix with women, and women didn't often mix with men. That was just their culture. Of course, they did go out to the markets. They did talk to each other. There was crossovers. Even in the masjid, there was that thing. Now, as time went on, obviously, times change. Men and women interact a little bit more in different places like the workforce. There's nothing wrong with that, so long as they adhere to the Islamic guidelines. But that's probably one of the reasons why they're mentioned separately. Another reason is to say, well, men have a way of scoffing at each other and women have their own way of scoffing at each other. Each one has their way. And I think that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this, some mufassirun say, well, Allah wanted to address the men in the way they put each other down and the women in their ways and how they put each other down. We know the psychology of these different two genders. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about scoffing each other, he means subhanahu wa ta'ala to us, slandering each other, mocking each other, putting each other down in a passive-aggressive manner. You know that passive-aggressive manner that people sometimes use? They don't really say it, but they're saying it. You know, it's like saying, say I'm stupid without saying I'm stupid. Passive-aggressive is one of the worst types of mockeries. Another way is online. I write something, or I put an emoji in a certain way, or I put a common social lingo that we know to put each other down. You know, I'm a teacher, alhamdulillah. And one of the things we learn from youngsters is that when they bully each other in the classroom, they have these special sounds. When you walk into the room, especially when that new student comes in, someone coughs, or someone does an animal sound, for example, or someone does this little look. All of this is bullying and haram in Islam. When we do that, we're putting each other down. And you know what that really actually means? I'll tell you what psychologically. It means that if I do it, that shows that I have low self-esteem. It means that I'm not proud about myself. It means I've got to put someone else down in order for me to feel amazing. That's an ego problem. That type of a person is going to have problems as they grow up. They're going to have problems at their workplace. They're going to have problems with their family. If they're single and they get married, man or woman, they're going to create problems in their family. And worse than that, the children are going to imitate them. I've seen it as a teacher happen a lot of times. I go into a school and I observe. We don't say anything. But then you can tell some of the students, some of the children, you can tell that maybe they took it from their parents' bad character. So we've got to be very careful how we present ourselves to our children, very importantly. Whether you're a teacher, a parent, an imam, an older brother, an older sister, an uncle, an aunt, it doesn't matter who you are. Children watch and observe. One friend of mine, he said, where is that man who smiles a lot? His daughter was about 7 years old. He says to me, where's that man who smiles a lot? Children look for character. They look for how we conduct ourselves and they remember it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he tells us to not scoff at each other and slander each other and put each other down, he then says, maybe that other group is better than you. Allah tells us in another verse in the Quran, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Never praise yourselves in piety. You see, people with low self-esteem, if It's not religion, it's money. If it's not money, it's property. If it's not property, it's looks. If it's not that, it's reputation. People have a problem with their self-esteem and they don't work on it or take advice. They'll use anything to put other people down. And there are some people who go into the religion to put other people down, to use the religion to try and rise above others. And that's why Allah says, فَلَا تُزَكُّ أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Don't praise yourselves in piety. Don't say, I'm religious, I pray, even if it's just passively, such as when someone says, last morning I woke up for Fajr, and then they emphasize it. And then they tell you some other story that's not related to that. Well, people say that, and of course we cannot talk about their intentions, and we shouldn't. But let's look at our own selves. If we do that all the time, it's as if we're praising ourselves to be above someone else. Another situation is when, let's say, someone's getting the attention, whether they've got a nice voice in the Quran, or they've got some knowledge, or they're up on stage, or everyone calls them to pray imam, or let's say someone praises the hijab of a particular sister, or the looks or something like that from a religious aspect, and then they want the attention to come to them, so they either put them down, or they scoff them, or they say something about their faults that they know about, which makes the situation even worse. And the whole thing that they're after is just to bring the attention to myself, me, myself, and I. This is actually a disease. A disease of the heart, when I need all attention on myself. And I think we live in a modern era where that's what it's all about. It's all about me, myself, and I. I've seen number plates on cars, all eyes on me. Well, it doesn't fit at all. I think I saw it then on a windscreen, but something similar to that on a number plate that meant, look at me. And you know, the shaitan, Iblis, that's exactly what he said to Allah. He said, I'm going to lead them all astray and I'm going to climb on top of them like the way you climb on a horse and grab their reins and steer them and make them ungrateful. وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. You will find most of them not grateful, meaning they're not grateful for the blessings you've given them. They always got to put someone else down as if they've got no blessings. Instead of thanking Allah for the blessings they have and feeling happy for the blessings of other people, they don't do that. That's called being ungrateful. We should say Alhamdulillah for everything we have. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, used to tell us in a Sahih Hadith, we all know it. He said, never look at those who are above you and more blessed than you, but look at those who are below you in fortune and blessings. Because then if you have the habit of always looking who's got more, then you're going to forget and not realize how many blessings you have. Every one of us has those blessings and we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it, but not show it off. One hadith that comes to mind is where the Prophet, peace be upon him, says, "Man tawadha lillahi rafa'a." Whoever humbles themselves, Allah will lift them and honor them. And you can see it. People will accept you, but love you at the same time. Some people may accept you because of some gain they want from you, to use you and abuse you. But the people that Allah makes people accept them in this life, they're the ones whom the angels have accepted him in the heavens, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted them. And they're the people who not only do others give them attention, but they also love them genuinely, you can tell. I'll give you a little piece of advice, if you like, from what experts have said, and I want to merge it with what Islam teaches us about self-esteem and confidence. If you want to be a high-value person, really, and you want Allah to be pleased with you, and you want to be, you know, someone important, but without falling into the problem of putting others down, then know what confidence means. And there's four types of confidence that we've learned. The first one is where you know that you can do something and you feel you can do something, then that's good confidence, but don't show it off. The second type is called the confidence where you know you can do something, but you feel you cannot do it. And that's lack of confidence. The third one is when a person knows they cannot do it and they feel they can do it. That's an ego problem. And you're going to fall into big problems like that. And the last one is where a person knows they cannot do it and feel they cannot do it. And that's called maturity. A Muslim should not appear, in fact, any person should not appear more than their reality. Don't try to be someone you're not. A Muslim or a person, a healthy person, should appear a little bit below their reality. And that way they can connect with others and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will lift them. That's how the Prophet, peace be upon him, was. If you were to go back in time 1,400 years and you wanted to look for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, guess where you should look? You don't go to the masjid first of all. I mean, you can. You can go looking for the famous companions that you always heard about. But if you really want to find him quick and efficiently, go look for a group of people who look poor and destitute. And most likely you'll find the Prophet, peace be upon him, sitting among them. I remember a beautiful story about a lady who used to clean the masjid, the mosque of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam back in his time. And she was not really known by any name or lineage. Nobody really cared too much about her. I mean, they loved her as a sister, but nobody really talked about her much. But to Allah, she was important. She used to clean the masjid. That's the best skill that she had. And she was pious, and she had adhkar, and she had remembrance of Allah, and she was all that stuff. But in the eyes of the people, that's all she did. One day she died, and the Prophet, peace be upon him, was asleep at Fajr time. He asked immediately about her. They said, Wallahi, Ya Rasulullah, she died. He said, why didn't you tell me? They said, we didn't want to disturb you or asleep. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, went and said, show me where her grave is. He went there and prayed Salat al-Janaza for her. And he said, my dua reaches these beautiful people, these believers in their graves, and fills it with light after darkness. The Prophet, peace be upon him, always made everybody feel important. And when you met him, even he did not appear that he's superior to you. He used to always say, Innama ana abdullahi wa rasuluh. I am, in fact, the slave of God and his messenger. Amazing if we can take that role modeling from our Prophet, peace be upon him. And you'll be something huge, not only in this world, but not only in the hereafter, but also in this world as well. You just gotta humble yourself and listen to those beautiful verses. Till next time. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.